This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. John Bolton's vehicles have arrived at federal court in Maryland one day after he was indicted on 18 counts of allegedly misappropriating classified information. ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has more on the third indictment against one of President Trump's critics.
Bolton pushing back, declaring the indictment retribution and an abuse of power, writing, "These charges are not just about his focus on me or my diaries, but his intensive effort to intimidate his opponents to ensure that he alone determines what is said about his conduct."
Today, President Trump hosts Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House one day after he spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours and agreed to another summit. It's day 17 of the government shutdown. The Senate's gone for the weekend, which means the shutdown will last until at least Monday. And Meta, Facebook's parent company, is adding parental controls for kids' interactions with AI chatbots. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Richland County Administrator Tricia Clements and Richland County Board Chair David Turk have released a statement concerning the Richland County EMS. The board took action earlier this year to end the current service model for the Richland County EMS as it was not fiscally sustainable. This agreement had been in place since 2014 and had been intended to last only 1 year. In 2025, it became very clear that the county could no longer sustain the service under the terms of that 2014 agreement. The Richland County Board acted to end the previous agreement effective December 31, 2025. Officials have been in discussion over the last couple of months with municipalities currently served by Richland County EMS to plan for 2026 and beyond. The county has developed a new contract structure reflecting the cost of operating the service, staffing it fully, and keeping it viable moving forward. This did result in increased cost for the municipalities involved, in some cases significant increases. The county created the agreement with a 1-year term to give time for consideration of other ways the service could be provided to the affected municipalities while still creating a period of stability for the county's budget and for the dedicated professional staff currently employed by Richland County EMS. Municipalities have asked for an extension of current contract terms for 3 months to give them time to explore alternatives. The county has offered a 3-month interim agreement to satisfy this request, even though it creates uncertainty for Richland County and the ambulance service. There will be a vote on this request at the full county board meeting Monday night at 7. If no agreement is reached by the end of the 3 months, the service will end. Officials don't want that to happen. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Last chance for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where it's do or die for the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 4 tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. Milwaukee losing again last night 3-1, now down 3-0. The Brewers only have 9 hits in this series so far. The last time that happened in the postseason was in 1906. First pitch tonight at Dodger Stadium, 7:38. NFL, the Packers head to Arizona tomorrow to play the Cardinals. Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with some controversial statements, saying the NFL has a double standard for calling penalties to protect the players on offense and not on defense.
Who are we kidding? You want to fine guys for putting their head down, but you can be engaged with an offensive tackle and the guard can come put his head right into your head. And look how many times that's on film. Guys putting their head down and trying to come clean your clock. But you can't do that to offensive players. Get a $50,000 fine. I might get a fine for this conference.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm for mid-October with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, some scattered showers, perhaps a thunderstorm as well, breezy with lows in the low to mid 50s. On Saturday, mostly sunny, still warm with highs in the lower 70s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trivi? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine, a week in review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north at 8:06 on this Friday morning, October 17th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. State Senator Jeff Smith is standing by for a conversation for this half hour. Then in our next half hour, we will be talking to Mike Clemens about the Brewers and now trying for going for that little four-game sweep of the L.A. Dodgers if they still want to keep their World Series hopes alive. That's coming up at 8:35. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, including our Sunday morning newsletter with more of a politics bent to it, and it includes our question of the week. The question we asked last Sunday morning is, what are your thoughts on mining in Wisconsin's North Woods? You're against it entirely. You feel it can be done with very strong guardrails, you know, regulations, rules, or that you feel like we should just go ahead and, you know, the mining companies will police themselves because it's in their best interest to keep everything clean, right? Right? Anyway, as you can imagine, a lot of the responses chose A, don't want it, don't need it, we can live without it. But there were a smattering of responses of people that said, you know, you can come up with the right kind of, you know, guidelines and rules to have safe mining, then they would like to see it. So we've got to come up with a new question of the week, and it'll be in everybody's inbox Sunday morning, especially you, if you sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, Civic Media has a new daily newsletter as well, filled with show highlights and plots of links, and you can get that over at Substack by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Time to bring in my friend Senator Jeff Smith here from the Chippewa Valley, who will be up for re-election in 2026. And so there have been developments on that front. Senator Smith, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Pat? Doing great. First, I want to start with what a great season the Brewers had and all the records, that positive things they did. And it's so sad to see that at these three games, they just set a record for the first three games with that hasn't been happened since 1906. Holy Moses. That's not the way I want to see him finish.
No, it set all these positive team records, and now they're setting a couple of team records they'd like to forget about. Fewest hits in a five-game span and others like that. And it's unfortunate. It can't take away from a great season, but the whole thing on the sweatshirt where it says built for fall, no. we were built for summer. We were built for the regular season, but
noticed that on every team has one of those sweatshirts, so it must have been a Major League Baseball thing to put those on there. But anyway, hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's intriguing to see how things are coming together. We're going to talk about the governor's race field here in just a bit, but as I explained to folks earlier, the way that things got set up when Wisconsin finally got fairer maps and got rid of the worst of the gerrymandering is we saw a lot of changes last year in the assembly elections, because the whole 99-member assembly is up for re-election every 2 years. But because of Senate four-year terms, only half the districts are up every 2 years. And the ones that were up last year, not a lot of them were made newly competitive, where there are some districts that were changed, and they will be up for election for the first time in 2026. That includes yours, including the fact that, you know, you as an incumbent Democrat and an incumbent Republican senator are going to wind up in the same district. And Republican Senator Jesse James announced that he is going to be going ahead and running for the seat that you're in right now. You've announced that you're already in right now. So I guess you won't be bored in 2026, right?
Well, here we go again, Pat. I never get easy.
You don't get the easy races. No, no, you don't.
I've been an advocate of what instead of fair, I use the word competitive. I think it's really important for democracy that all of our districts are competitive, and that's what we're seeing happen right now.
Well, I mean, it's competitive in that you've got these two incumbents who are involved, and, you know, Jesse James is, you know, no stranger to the legislature or to the Chippewa Valley, but, you know, he has a record, as do you as well. And you, because you have always been in a purple district, to put it mildly, you have been able to thread the needle of being competitive in a purple district while staying true to your own progressive values. Now that you have this newly drawn district, how does your job get a little easier or a little harder?
That's a really good question. It's always actually really fun and interesting to introduce yourself to new voters. Because I've had to do that a couple times during these last decade. But at the same time, I just want to point out that I like Jeff and Jesse's. We get along pretty good. But his announcement was homecoming. Well, Jesse never moved. He did mislead people and say, "Oh, I moved to Thorpe." Well, he never really moved to Thorpe. Even when we were knocking doors in Altoona, one of my staff members came across Jesse raking his yard in Altoona. So, I mean, Jesse never actually left. And another thing to point out that's interesting is that I did not vote for these maps. I voted no on these maps. I stuck to my guns here about how maps should not be decided by the legislature and chosen by the legislature, and I did not vote for these. But Jesse did. So no complaining. This from Jesse. I better not hear any complaining. This is the map he chose. So here we are.
Well, and here with a record. And when I think of the record in terms of representing, you know, Western Wisconsin, there's certainly a lot to be said for how things were handled, you know, on the matter of the hospitals closing and, you know, water, you know, water contaminated with PFAS and all kinds of things. Yeah. And we can get into the local issues a little bit later on. But from a broader state perspective, what does it mean that now that you're going to these more competitive state Senate districts and you've got the governor's race up for grabs, how would you really kind of outline the stakes over the possibility of either a Democratic governor and a Democratic controlled legislature versus keeping a Republican controlled legislature and then getting a Republican governor? What's at stake?
I think we're feeling really good about our chances. And going back to 2024, out of the 16 Senate races that were up, we didn't lose any Democrats, but we flipped 4 Republican seats out of 16. So we actually did pretty darn well, which moved us from a 22-11 minority to an 18-15 minority, which right now the Republicans obviously see the writing on the wall. Their backs up against the wall, and that is why, actually, instead of Jesse running for the seat that he already holds, the 23rd district, they have convinced him to run in my district to try to prevent us from getting to that majority, which we really are on the verge of getting. And we feel pretty confident about that as long as I hold this seat. So it has become like the linchpin right now is the 31st Senate district as to which way we go.
I spoke at length in the last hour about one of the parts of your record that you'll be running on, and that is, you know, how you feel things should be handled in the state budget. And Governor Evers put out a note yesterday about the ending surplus for this just completed fiscal year. at I believe it was $4.6 billion, higher than originally forecast. And, you know, that should have been a reason for bipartisan attaboys. And instead, I read a release from a Fond du Lac Republican Assembly rep who felt the need to, you know, tear into the governor and say, you know, you didn't do this. It was our legislature that did it. To which, you know, my response was, give me a break. I mean, they had to be dragged kicking and screaming to support the people whose taxes fill those coffers by investing in education and roads and things like that. Do you feel like you'll have a compelling case to make to voters to how you would choose to engage in financial stewardship versus the Republicans?
Yeah, let's face it. It was still a Republican budget. Yes, I voted yes on that budget because we had a situation here where the hospitals closed and we had 40 some thousand people who had lost their access to the hospital system that they were used to. So we needed to get that $1 billion in. That Trump, by the way, and the Republicans in Washington were about ready to cut from us. So that was, even the Republicans here in this state realized they were in desperate need of passing a budget that did not lose that $1 billion. So that's where we were at. But they did not fund our schools sufficiently. They're still on this mission of breaking public education. So I repeat this statistic over and over and over. When this session ends, the Republicans will have held a majority in the legislature 30 out of 32 years. For them to even go after the governor, they are misleading people about how government works. The governor doesn't sign anything, can't pass anything. It's up to the legislature to send good bills and good funding to the governor for him to sign.
Well, and that's where we get to this notion of taking care of our homeless veterans and the facilities that had to close, including the one in Chippewa Falls, and this disingenuous attempt to somehow blame the governor for a line that they zeroed out in the budget. And I don't believe you have stopped yet trying to help lead your Republican colleagues into being a little bit more supportive. Stop playing the blame game and find ways to get homeless veterans in the Chippewa Valley and elsewhere the services they need.
Yeah, now that the Republicans have removed the options for our homeless veterans from the Klein Hall in Chippewa County, which had the most beds, 48 beds, the 17 beds in Green Bay. We are now on the mission of reinstating and rebuilding that program. But it's really this baloney with them wearing, you know, red, white, and blue and draping themselves in the flag and talk about how they support veterans when, in fact, it's absolutely hogwash when they've done what they've done to our veterans with closing those facilities.
We're talking to State Senator Jeff Smith, who is going to be running for re-election next year in a very competitive district at a time when there's going to be a very competitive governor's race as well. Yesterday, we had Senator Kelda Royce on for a visit. Other, of course, candidates for governor have been coming through the area. Just give me your broad assessment of the field. Does it strike you like 2018, where you had, you know, a wealth of good potential choices out there? Do you feel like there's the possibility of a lot of you know, backstabbing and things, or are Democrats looking at a healthy primary for governor next year?
I think what we have from our side we should be bragging about is we have experienced legislators, we have experienced progressive candidates who know government, know how to operate, know how government works. I can't say that on the Republican side. And you have Tom Tiffany, who's been in the legislature and in Congress, but Tom Tiffany has been an embarrassment in the legislature and in Congress.
Well, I mean, he's got the road to hoe that says, I've been in these, you know, rock-ribbed Republican deep red districts for my state Senate career and my congressional career. And now he's got to run statewide, which is why you see him already trying to run away from his stance on abortion. So your point is extremely well taken. We're talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the 2026 campaign cycle and his own particular race that's shaping up in the Chippewa Valley. And still to come, we will be talking to Mike Clemens. We'll talk about the Brewers losing that third game to the LA Dodgers. Game four is tonight. Pre-game starts at 7 o'clock on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
News from the Center, WRCE.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall. This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Phil Neal with a look at Southwestern Wisconsin sports. First of all, the top story, the Richland Center Ithaca cross-country boys team won a conference title, first cross-country conference title for a Richland Center high school team in 50 years. Of course, now joined with Ithaca, the RCI runners had an incredible race. Individual first-team all-conference winners were Owen Dreyer, who was the overall champion of the conference, having an amazing time last night with a 15:53. Also, Clayton Lee was a first-team all-conference runner. He finished third with a time of 16:21, and Ryan Stadler was a fifth-place runner with a time of 16:30. Individual second-team all-conference honors for RCI were Robert Budden, Sam Jones, and Pearl Fretz. Individual honorable mention all-conference winners included Grace Fretz. The Richland Center girls volleyball team survived a four-set win over Lancaster on Thursday night during the final regular season match. The scores were 25-15 Richland Center. Lancaster won the second set 25-22 before the Hornets won the next two by finals of 29-27 and 26-24. With the win, Richland Center improved to 7-3 and finished second in the Southwest Conference. Lancaster ended the regular campaign at 3-7. It was senior night, and the team honored the leadership of that group. Pre-match recognition was given to Tatum Razick, Rainey Walsh, Danica Pauls, Taylor Wirtz, Ella Cairns, and Abigail Williams. Danica Pauls had 18 kills and 3 aces to lead the Hornets last night. Ella V. Weiss added 11 kills and 2 blocks for the Hornets. The Richland Center JV1 team and JV2 teams both swept the Arrows in the early matches. Following the 4-set varsity win, Richland Center now prepares for the WIAA tournament. The Hornets will play the winner of the Nakusa-Westby first-round match. That one in Richland Center coming up next Thursday. Lancaster will face New Glarus at home on Tuesday night. In other volleyball play from last night, River Valley swept Dodgeville, also Platteville 3-0 over Prairie du Chien. Ithaca got by North Crawford 3-2 in the Ridge and Valley. Wazika Steuben over Kickapoo 3-0. And it was Mineral Point sweeping Riverdale, Cuba City by sweep over Boscobel. Southwestern beat Fenimore 3-1, Darlington 3-0 over Iowa Grant, Hillsboro in 4 over Bangor, Luther swept Viroqua. It was Royal 3-0 over Nisida, Cashton 3-1 winners against Brookwood, Wonewoc Center swept New Lisbon as well, and the Dells over Westfield 3-0. Boys soccer, River Valley 5-2 over Richland Center on the final regular season matchup of the year. Both teams enter WIAA tournament play next week. Sauk Prairie 2-0 over Oregon, and Wisconsin Dells 11-3 over Adams Friendship. This is the 9th week of the high school football season, and teams are jockeying for positions and fighting for WIAA playoff berths. The reveal show will be shown tomorrow statewide. Richland Center feels they're probably in the playoffs, but to make sure that that happens, they would need a win over Prairie du Chien tonight. I talked to Coach Andy Troxell as his team wraps up the regular season, and he's highlighting his seniors today.
This has been a crew that's been with us for a long time, you know, playing varsity ball. I remember when they were sophomores, a lot of them played at the varsity level just because we needed them to step up when they were young. So they were robbed of some of that development, you know, when they were younger. So it's been 3 years of working with these kids. And so regardless of when this story comes to an end, it's going to be really hard to say goodbye to these guys. You know, I mean, you've got Jake Shlom. I mean, he's got a fire in his belly. He's got heart and soul, you know, just loves to be around the game. You know, we'll miss that. You know, Devin Harris, you know, he's a little bit of a jokester, right? But he stepped up over even this year as a center. Cruz Salazar, you know, he is maybe a little bit undersized, but he plays like he's a 6'3 offensive guard. He gives us everything that he's got. Ethan Bindle is super, super strong and very competitive and has really kind of come into his own this year as a guard. Sean Kolsch is new to football, and he's really gravitated towards just our program. You know, he's finding his niche and having fun. Duncan Harper, guy has got lightning speed, you know, and is one of, I think, the best defensive backs in the SWC. You know, and then you've got Brenton Baker. That kid will fight until the last whistle, and he will hit you as hard as he can. I'm not afraid of anything. Abe Bosworth, our right tackle, I say one of the best offensive tackles I've ever had the chance to coach, you know, and so he does a wonderful job in that right side of the line. Liam Fingerson, kid's got heart and soul, has battled through adversity, you know, and just one heck of a foot on that kid, whether he's kicking or punting, you know, and then Brady Dosh. I mean, Brady has had an exceptional year across the board, offensively and defensively. So just the heart and soul and the leadership that kid has showed over the last few years is going to be a tough one to replace, you know, as we kind of wrap up this 25 campaign.
Prairie du Chien and Richland Center can be heard tonight, our game of the week, on FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. Elsewhere in the conference, Lancaster at New Glarus, Platteville at Broadhead Judah, Dodgeville is at River Valley. The Blackhawks are trying to stay in first place. Here's Coach Tyler McLean.
You know, you look at their record and you might think to yourself, you know, this is a team that's kind of in the dumps, but, you know, watching them on film and kind of looking at their box scores, like, they're a team that's fighting and getting better every single week. You know, they don't really have that opportunity to go play in the playoffs, so there's going to be some seniors on their team that are going to be playing their last ever football game. So I think they're going to come with a lot of energy and, you know, being ready to kind of ruin our Friday night in a sense. So we've been kind of preparing that with our boys the entire week, that we can't be looking at the record. We can't be looking at the past, pretty much. We really got to try to stay as focused as we can on Friday night and execute at a really high level.
In the Scenic Bluffs Conference, Cashton at Royal, Brookwood at Nisida, Hillsboro at Bangor, Ithaca at New Lisbon. The Bulldogs looking to better their playoff chances or seeding if they can win tonight against the Rockets. Here is co-head coach David Klang.
It was Lisbon likes to throw the ball a lot. I mean, I know they haven't had a ton of success with what they've been doing this year, but just that fact that they like to kind of just get out there and kind of wing the ball, you never know what happens, especially if we miss a coverage or something like that, that they could definitely score and make some big plays. So that's always kind of one thing that we got to watch out with these guys in particular, just because of how much they want to try to throw the ball and kind of do some different things that we haven't been used to the last couple weeks.
David Klang, co-head coach of Ithaca, his team at New Lisbon tonight. Riverdale is at Iowa Grant. 8-player WIAA first-round games begin tomorrow. That's an update on sports here in Southwest Wisconsin during Pat Kreitlow mornings. Phil Nee, hoping you have an awesome day. Thanks for listening to WRCE. Have a great weekend and enjoy 77 degrees later today.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has published state general school aids that school districts will receive during the current school year. This release of certified financial figures is based on data from the previous school year, including student counts and year-end financial data. The information published includes certified general school aid amounts for each school district, as well as 2025-26 student enrollment numbers for independent charter schools and private schools participating in the private school choice programs and the special needs scholarship program. Certain enrollment numbers for these programs are used to determine the dollar amounts to be withheld from school districts' aid payments to fund the programs as applicable. General school aids are the largest form of state support for PK through 12 schools in Wisconsin. The DPI is required by state law to release the certified aid figures by October 15th of each year. Locally, Weston will see a decrease of 10.85% or a cut of $190,941. The Kickapoo Area District will see a 10.61% decrease or a cut of $346,597. The River Valley School District is facing a 5.17% decrease, amounting to $313,403. The Riverdale School District is receiving a 3.01% decrease, or $171,074. The Richland School District cut is a 2.07% decrease, or $236,843. The district receiving the least cut in the area is the Ithaca School District at 1.72%, or $42,196. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Diane Keaton's cause of death has been revealed. The actress passed away at the age of 79 on October 11th at her home in Los Angeles. According to Yahoo Entertainment, the actress's family says Keaton died of pneumonia. The Annie Hall star had had two battles with skin cancer in recent years and has also dealt with an eating disorder. Her daughter Dexter and son Duke said they were grateful for the support shown for their mother's passing. There were two great movies out this year that were totally original and unbelievably well executed in Sinners and One Battle After Another. Original movies can be done, but this is Hollywood, and according to Empire Online, there will be a new movie based on the Flintstones in space, also known as the Jetsons. Sigh. I guess the good news is Jim Carrey is being looked at for the part of George Jetson. Plenty of great filmmakers out there, but they're going back to a cartoon from 1962. Well done, Hollywood. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm for mid-October with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, some scattered showers, perhaps a thunderstorm as well, breezy with lows in the low to mid 50s. On Saturday, mostly sunny, still warm with highs in the lower 70s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with home.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You ever just want to tell us what's on your mind? Just, you know, pick up the phone and shout something at us and then just hang up the phone and not have to listen back to us? You can actually do that through the Civic Media app. You can use the voice note feature to record us a little voice message. It doesn't have to be angry. It can be something really nice. And then we get to hear the note in your own words, maybe put it up on air as well. So again, look for that voice note feature on the Civic Media app. We are joined now by Mike Clemens, who's going to give us a preview of all the sports that's coming up this weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we are going to start with what has really been ugly, and that would be the National League Championship Series. Brewers now down 3-0. We'll talk about what's surprising and what's not surprising about that with Mike Clemens. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat. Hey, guess what? Pitching is important in the postseason. How about that?
Have we ever talked about this
over the years?
We have, yes, I know. And boy, are we finding that out the hard way. And what really makes it tough, Mike, is that we beat them all six games in the regular season. If it had been any kind of anything but that, I think we might be looking at this differently. But we're like, wait a minute, how did we beat them 6 times and now this is happening? But, you know, it's time, it's injuries, it's a whole lot of things, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, and this young Brewers team is bringing up guys like Caleb Durbin and Isaac Collins. And so there was that 3-game stretch against the Dodgers, and now so you've got the best record of baseball currently, and you're getting hot and better every day, and you've got this young team. But here comes the defending World Series champion, and you sweep them. But, you know, we knew that week. Like the guy that beat you last night, Tyler Glasnow, he was just coming off an injury back then. And they were missing some other guys from their bullpen. And Mookie Betts was on his phone after, like, the Game 2 loss this summer at AmFam Field. And I'm over there in the visitor's clubhouse, and he's on the phone. And then the Dodger reporters are going up to him. And he goes, hey, just 1 second. And he's rolling his eyes. You know, he says, wife, contractor, you know, we're building an extension on the house. I mean, that's where these guys' heads were at. But the defending champions, this high-paid profile team, they got their guys back. They snuck into the wild card, and now they're on a roll. And so, you know, Blake Snell just blows you away at home in game one. Game two, Yamamoto, who only lasted an inning against you this summer. You know, I was at that game two this summer in Milwaukee. He pitches 9 complete innings. It's been like 8 years since a guy did that in the postseason. And then last night, Tyler Glasnow. And so the Brewers, you know, they lose last night. 3-1. They're down 0-3. And then they had this stat on TBS after the game that I looked up. The Brewers only have 9 hits so far in this series. The last time a team performed that poorly at the plate was in 1906. The Chicago White Sox, they were going against the Cubs in the first Crosstown World Series. And actually, the White Sox won the series 4-2 because they were this outstanding defensive team that the newspapers back then called the Hitless Wonders. I mean, you know, so that's
well,
that's how much the Brewers' offense has been snuffed out this week by this extraordinary Dodger pitching. And tonight they got Shohei Ohtani to deal with.
Oh, well, sure. Why not just, I mean, if you're going down, just go down with Ohtani on the mound, too, if that's the way that things turn out to be. The other one, and again, some of these stats get really obscure, but it's this one I thought was still worth noting. You go back to game 3 of the division series. So in the past 5 games,
The Brewers have just 18 hits. That's the fewest amount of hits in any five-game stretch in franchise history. There could not have been a worse time for the bats to go silent.
Right, right. And, you know, again, it's the same Brewers story. You know, remember the Brewers used to have sluggers, and then they would lose in these playoff series. And now they've got this team that's young and fast and steals bases, and they just get on, or they walk, et cetera. And then they work the bases. And then, you know, a few miracles happen along the way. They've been very disciplined at the plate this year in winning the most games. But, you know, when I started out in this business, I got hired in August of 82 by the flagship TV station as a producer. And I got to cover that World Series. And with all those sluggers they had on the 82 team with Robert Yount, Gorman Thomas, and et cetera, they came up short in pitching. Remember Bud Selig said, if we had Rowley fingers, we could have done this. But the Cardinals had, was it Joaquin and Andujar?
Andujar,
beat him twice.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at Pete Ladd on the mound. I mean, come on. You know, it's just,
right?
You know, yeah. And so, again, the whole offseason will be, once again, the Brewers ownership needs to come up with the bankroll for the mound, for the pitching.
Yes.
And they were hoping that, you know, the wheels started coming off in September when they started losing those games. And then yes. Brandon Woodruff couldn't go, and that'd take them out of the rotation. So Mizorowski, you know, he did a nice job the other night. Not enough. That's not enough.
That's just it. I mean, it's great that he continues to find his footing, but it is kind of on-the-job training, and sometimes it works out really well for us. But, Mike, I have said repeatedly, I'm going to say it one last time because I probably only get to say it one more time. I very clearly remember the 2004 Red Sox being down 0-3 in the American League Championship Series and watching all four of those games, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And it's not that I was a bit – not like I was a Red Sox fan. I was a David Ortiz fan because he'd played for the Minnesota Twins for years before going to Boston.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was an incredible four-game stretch to watch. And so I know it hasn't happened before or since, but I got to hope. I got to put my hopes on something that it actually has been done at least once before.
And the last time the Red Sox won the World Series was 1918 before that, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, the curse of the Bambino and all that stuff. So game four is tonight, 7:38, a little bit of a different starting time tonight from Dodger Stadium. If a miracle happens, game five would be tomorrow night in L.A. Then they would come back for Monday and Tuesday night in Milwaukee if they could take it to a game seven. But the Brewers, their back is against the wall, and Murph won't announce until later this afternoon who's going to be his opener or starter tonight for the Dodgers.
All right. Again, 7 o'clock, the pregame begins on some of the Civic Media Radio Network stations. We've got college football as well with the Badgers taking on Ohio State. Again, coverage begins at 12:30 with the pregame for the game against Ohio State. The Badgers taking on the number one ranked team in the country. You know, it's not. Well, no, actually, this is a genuine question. Have ever, or how many times have the Badger football team in their history ever knocked off the number one team in the nation?
I don't know.
I don't know that the number isn't zero. I'm just saying I haven't looked it up. And I have to admit, Mike and Parker gets a little frustrated with me here, but I keep telling everybody this is the game you want to watch because if history is made, you're going to want to say that you got to see it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if ever there were a time to make history for Luke Fickell, it better be tomorrow.
Well, drive to Madison, and I'm sure you'll be able to find someone selling your tickets because this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. I mean, CBS Sports this morning has got them, Ohio State Buckeyes, the undefeated 6-0 number one ranked team in the nation right now, as 26-point favorites over a Badgers team that, you know, a year ago. Remember how Iowa-Wisconsin games for the longest time since Kirk Ferentz has been over there? It's like 21-20 or less. You know, they're tough physical games. And last year, the Badgers lost 42-10. And Fickell said, well, I'm going to turn this thing around. And last weekend, I was 37-0 in favor of Iowa. And, you know, the point is, where's the progress? Where's any kind of anything, any bright spot, anything in resembling identity as to where this Badgers football program is going? Minus, you know, a quarterback getting hurt again. where are you going? What have you got to hang on? And so you're gonna you lose this thing tomorrow, and maybe you're gonna call a couple more to Oregon. What story do you have to show for recruiting next year? It's getting serious real quick there.
Yeah, it is. Parker actually has an answer to my little made up trivia question there. Parker, Badgers ever beat a number one?
Yeah, in 2010, famously, the Badgers ran that opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And I think they all – oh, that was against Ohio State, by the way. So maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
So there you go. Again, you got to pick. Yeah. I don't – the Badgers in 2010 were as in dire straits as the 2025 Badgers. But again, we'll see. 12:30 for the pregame, 2:30 for the kickoff. The Packers, meanwhile, head to Arizona. You're going to be heading there as well for that game against the Cardinals.
Yeah, now the Cardinals, you know, they've struggled, and Kyler Murray, their scrambling quarterback, got injured a couple weeks ago. Marvin Harrison Jr., their standout wide receiver, missed last week. They're questionable going into this game this weekend, and they've lost four in a row, but like by a total of like 9 points, like LaFleur said the other day. They've got a pretty good defense. One guy to look for is Josh Sweat. Linebacker, he'll line up usually over your left tackle. This is a guy who was on that Eagles team that just rolled over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. This guy had like sacked, you know, Patrick Mahomes like three times in that game and had six tackles. Left in free agency, signed by the Cardinals for a 4-year deal worth $74 million, I think. So I was talking to Elton Jenkins, the Packers center, about that, and he said, yeah, sometimes he'll line up with his hand in the dirt, sometimes he'll be standing out there and roaming around, so that's somebody that Jordan Love and the offensive line have to keep their eye open. Packers beating the Bengals last week, but, you know, the Bengals team that they beat, Joe Flacco gets there on Tuesday, he's got 4 days to prepare, and then Ja'Marr Chase, his number one receiver, he gets the flu. And after the game, Ja'Marr Chase, I went over to the visitor's locker room, and he said, yeah, I had like 12 reps with this new quarterback. I mean, you know, they got to know each other literally during the pregame. They were drawing up plays in the first half in the dirt just about, and they scored 18 points in the second half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of a warning light. By the way, the Bengals beat the Steelers last night, 4 days later.
I saw that. Flacco beating Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So, and now Aaron Rodgers, now he gets, you know, a bye this weekend, and then they'll be waiting in Pittsburgh for next Sunday night. We'll be there to cover that one, too, Steelers and the Packers. Ooh. But, you know, and what were the Browns thinking, getting rid of Joe Flacco?
I still don't get that. Yeah, that one makes no sense.
Yeah, so, the leadership and the experience and everything. So, the Packers, they're looking at themselves in terms of what they need to do to beat a team that's desperate for a win, because the Cardinals have lost four in a row, and who's going to be out there for them on Sunday? Oh, it was funny. Elton Jenkins got mic'd up in that game against the Bengals last Sunday, and during a timeout, he yells over to T.J. Slayton, who now plays for the Bengals. He left the Packers in free agency. He's a defensive lineman. He said, T.J., what are you guys running next? What are you, nickel, dime? What are you going to be in? And I interviewed Elton. I said, did you get an answer? No. I said, well, that's kind of rude. You know, try to help a brother out, right?
So, I like that. I like when they're mic'd up. That's fun. And then finally, we've got the NBA season is getting set to get going. The Bucks wrapping up preseason.
Yeah, the Bucks wrapped up their preseason with a record of 3-1. They lost to the Thunder the other night. And Doc Rivers says, got to work on being sharper on defense. And Bobby Portis, you know, their veteran, said, yeah, and also we got 5 days now left to get ready, because next week, Wednesday, they host the Washington Wizards, and then it's like bang, 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 10, 11 games after that. They don't want to get off to the bad start that they had last season, so time now to get in shape. And then Giannis, you know, the stories from ESPN about that, you know, though he's
– yeah.
I mean, you know, where John Horst, the GM, had to fly to Greece this summer in August to work out a deal. They signed Alex Antetokounmpo, another brother of Giannis, to the roster yesterday.
Hey, whatever it takes. Mike Clemens, travel safe. Okay. Enjoy Arizona. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. We'll see ya. All right. We will wrap things up. Here's some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, one more time. Brewers taking on the Dodgers tonight. I hope it's not one more time. I mean, one more time we announce it on this show. I hope there's a game tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday. We'll see, but we got to get through tonight. Pre-game starts at 7 o'clock. First pitch, 7:38 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Badger pregame coverage begins at 12:30 tomorrow. Packers pregame coverage begins at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And Parker has been doing extensive research on the Badger football team and its record against number ones. A fellow by the name of Chad Holmes tells us on YouTube the Badgers beat the top-ranked Michigan Wolverines in 1981, and they beat number one-ranked Northwestern in 1962. Does that check out with your research as well?
That checks with what I found, yes. I only remember one of these happening, believe it or not.
Well, as well you should. If you remembered the others, that would be, the paranormal.
Reincarnation. There you go.
Yes. Proof. Let's try to avoid dealing with the dark arts at this early hour of the day and reincarnation and things like that. Let's see. Next week on the program, we're going to have author Laura Bird on, and we're going to be talking all about book shows. There are some book shows that are coming up that she's going to talk about, and exactly what a book show is. Which is kind of an important thing to know if you're going to go to one of these things. Are they books that are singing and dancing, or you know what exactly happens at these things? Do you have to wear costumes, for example?
You know, I'm not familiar with book shows, but I would not have guessed that they were dancing, Pat.
I hear show and I think show tunes. It could have been any of these things. So we don't know. We'll have Bill Hegseth on as well from the group Grow, which is a Western Wisconsin organizing group that does a lot of canvassing to talk to people about the issues that are out there, what they need to know, and you know, what politicians could be learning if they would hear more from the people whose doors that they knock on. And of course, we've got Hans Breitenmoser talking about farming issues and bringing along a guest, Steve Bowe, who will be joining us as well. For this weekend, I sense I would like to be picking up some leaves. I don't want to pick up leaves. I would like to be mowing some leaves, but they're going to have to dry out first after the rain here. So we'll see if that becomes the plan. I don't know. You do not have raking leaves in your plan for this weekend, I don't believe.
I do not, mainly because our massive tree got taken down earlier this summer.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, I could see where that would be an issue for you. What will you be doing? Is Whitewater playing football? I haven't looked at the WIAC football schedule here.
Whitewater actually plays tonight against Stout. Friday night lights game in Whitewater, so I'll be heading down there this evening. What else do I have? I'm covering you can check out civicmedia.us on I assume Saturday, but definitely later on in the weekend. We'll have statewide coverage of the No Kings protests. I will be covering what's going on in Madison, and I know that we've got folks all around the state covering a good number of those many, 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 many protests, Pat.
Many. Would you like me to read them all again? I've got them all right here in front of me.
Go for it. I'll record it this time, and we can play it back on Monday.
I enjoyed doing that because it harkened back to the olden times when you didn't have internet, and to find out if your school was closed during a snowstorm, you had to sit there and listen for a guy, you know, reading on the radio, all of the schools, and you're waiting and you're hoping it's alphabetical, but sometimes it's not. And then you finally hear that guy or that girl say your name, and you're like, yes, you get to stay home. You had to only get that through the guy on the radio. Then eventually TV started with their crawls.
I was going to say, I remember it on TV.
Really making myself sound old at this point. Now it's just like everybody gets a text message.
Yeah, we got calls. Yeah.
Yep. So instead, the only way you could find out about all the No Kings rallies around Wisconsin was to hear me go through the whole list. No, wait, there's a website, nokings.org, where you can get that. And by the way, if you're going to one of these things as a participant, keep in mind, as we discussed yesterday with Cindy Greening, there may be, you know, hecklers, there may be counter protesters, whatever the case may be. Don't take the bait. You're there for what you want to do. Do what it is you want to do. Give the message that you want to give. Mostly it's about numbers, about just understanding that you are not alone out there, that there are lots of friends and neighbors who feel as you do, and that you just want to express that in a way that is, you know, that is nonviolent, that is community focused. And you certainly don't want to give any ammunition to the people that go, oh, you're part of Antifa and you get your George Soros paychecks and you're part of Hamas or whatever. Let them wallow in their own fantasies elsewhere. There's no need to feed the trolls on there. So also in the WIAC football schedule, so you mentioned Stout at Whitewater, and then tomorrow's games are River Falls at Stevens Point, La Crosse is at Platteville, and Eau Claire is at Oshkosh.
La Crosse and Platteville was the only game worth watching of those three on Saturday.
Just oh, so really?
Know. Yes.
Okay. I feel like we need a special WIAC football segment out of you.
Well, we do have. On Make the Call, which airs at 7 a.m. on Saturdays. Make the Call, we have a good little segment with Jimmy Cuska and I talking about WIAC football and other WIAC sports.
Why have you not talked about this before on this program?
I told you that I was going on Nightlight to talk about it.
All right. Well,
didn't take the bait.
Marketing, buddy. It's all marketing. All right. I want a detailed breakdown of next week's show beforehand so we can tell the listeners all about it.
Do you know that I write predictions for every single WIAC football game too?
No, okay. I don't. Look at these things I learned.
Check out Warhawk.
I've got stuff to learn. Bring up the closing credits music here. It is time to bring a wrap to the work week on this fine program. There it is. If it sounds a little 70s-ish, there's a reason. It's actually from 1978. I, for no particular reason, was thinking of one of my favorite radio shows growing up. And so in honor of the Cannon Mess, we bring up this little ditty to tell you that the producer of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, is Parker Olson. The executive producer is Luke Mathers. We feel him watching us, even when he's nowhere near Madison at this point. He's always watching. The consulting producer is Greg Bach, who I hope does not burn his Brewers jersey after this weekend. Take heart, my man. There's always next year. The medical consultant for this program, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, we hope that she is enjoying another margarita from where she is on her off weekend. Thanks to this week's guests that include Senator Kel DeRoyes, Senator Chris Larson, Representative Jody Emerson, Superior Mayor Jim Payne, and many more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Enjoy a wonderful weekend. We will see you back here bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton's in a federal courthouse in Maryland. He was indicted Thursday on 18 felony counts for allegedly mishandling classified information. He called the indictment nothing but retribution and part of President Trump's campaign to intimidate his opponents. ABC's Pierre Thomas says
Bolton and his attorneys claim no crime has been committed, but Bolton is under serious legal threat. Each of those 18 counts carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in jail.
Today, President Trump meets with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House. On Thursday, he spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours and agreed to another meeting that's expected to come in Turkey. Hundreds of people have been airlifted out of rural Alaska villages that have been devastated by flooding that's killed one person and left two others unaccounted for. And Ford's recalling over 290,000 vehicles because of rear-view camera system problems. This is ABC News.